Would you turn with me, as I indicated in the theme of memories within a Luke, will you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, there in verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Nowhere in our Bibles are the hazards of being and living as a Christian minimized or set down in our estimation. It is indeed a hard path living as a Christian. And just as the Christian life and its hazards are not minimized, so also the strength of the enemy we face is never minimized also, because he is out to destroy and will use every opportunity to that end. And the only survival that we have is due to the prayers and to the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read there at the beginning of our reading at verse 31 and onwards of the way in which Peter was going to be saved, and we can imagine the way in which, in a sieve, when you're scattering or sieving flour or such like in the kitchen, the way in which it bounces around in the sieve and it seems to be all over the place. We can imagine Peter being just like that, a helpless thing in the hands for a moment of the enemy sieving him. Peter was ready to protest about his loyalty, that he would follow the Lord to prison and even ultimately to death, but the Lord puts him down quietly and tells him instead of something far, far more solemn, "Peter, you're going to deny me this day three times." And as the Lord speaks to Peter, he deals with him with a very personal name. He uses the word, and he said to him, "Peter." It is the only usage of his name by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only place where the Lord uses that name on its own, Peter. Peter, and he uses it very specially, because the word Peter means a rock, the symbol of stability. And yet the contrast is that the rock is going to deny the Lord. So soon, he is going to be the exact opposite. And before dawn comes, he has denied his Lord, just as the Lord said. And as that bird crew, as the noise of the cockerel came over the airwaves, it awakened the memory in Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. This conversation at the beginning of our reading in verses 31, 32 and onwards, that conversation was deep in the memory of Peter. And whenever the cock crew, he remembered. He remembered what the Lord had said about Satan sieving him. He remembered what the Lord said about denying the Lord. But I believe also Peter remembered about the way in which the Lord was going to pray for him, and that he would be restored. And being restored, he would be a source of strength to his brethren about him. All of these memories, the memories that the Lord had told him beforehand, that were now just in his memory and came flashing before him, all of these memories would have caused him pain. But nothing would have caused him more pain than the look that was between them as he denied his Lord and the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And that look from the Lord broke Peter's heart. It opened the floodgates of tears in his life. It conveyed something of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to Peter as never before. And yet it was that tremendous assurance of love, of interest and concern, that made Peter go out and weep. And he was changed and he was different from this moment onwards. The bitterness of denial led to the blessing of forgiveness. And he could speak and he could preach, as we will refer to later on. He could speak and he could preach out of a very personal and a deep experience of the love of the Lord to him, even in the extreme situation of denying him. These are the experiences that we need today. We need to have these personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes a church service and sometimes a sermon itself, sometimes all of these things can become so academic. We go through a form and a ritual. We're going through something cultural and conventional. We're doing it because we're brought up to do it, because we've always done it, and this is the way it's always been done. And these are the external things that constrain us to come as we're here today. But we need to get down to the personal. We come and God is dealing with us. We need to have that sensitivity to spiritual things as Peter had. We might come to church under cover of habit. We might hide in company of family or friends. We can speak of so many different things, and our mind can roam and range over the four corners of the earth. We can create a picture of being involved and immersed in the world. We can even hide from others the wrong that we've done. But yet, on that path, in that kind of state that we've just referred to, we look to the Lord to meet with us this morning. Suddenly, His Word comes into our mind, breaks into our soul. Suddenly the defenses are compromised and broken, and God is talking to you. He talked to Peter through that look, suddenly, powerfully. He breaks in with eternal issues. He breaks in with spiritual matters to us as we've never known it before. And we give place and space to thoughts that in the past we dismissed and let go by us. But these moments, when the Lord speaks to us like that, these moments are not easily passed over by us. Personal dealings and attention do have a deep effect upon us, just as they had a deep effect upon Peter. And we want the same outcome. We want the same effect upon us as upon Peter. Because Peter was spiritually changed from that meeting with the Lord, and the Lord dealing with him in a look, and the memories that were stirred. And so we want the Lord to do the same for us, every one of us, here this morning, now. So then let's go into the passage. And the first thing I want us to think of is the Lord Himself and all that was happening about Him and to Him. Events were moving quickly. We are told here that they were brought into the high priest's house. Peter and another disciple, two of them, were following afar off. Peter, we can mention several reasons why he might have been following. Maybe because of the boasting that he was making, that might have brought him there. Matthew also tells us that Peter followed to see the end. we can put that down to a mixture also with curiosity. But also we can say that Peter had a love for the Lord and he wanted to see what was happening to his Lord. When you go to John's Gospel, you can see the way in which things happen for Peter. In John's Gospel, first of all, in verse 15, Simon Peter with the other disciple followed. That other disciple was known to the high priest, and so the other disciple went in. And that other disciple spoke to the woman that kept guard on the door. And the woman went and brought in Peter. And that's the first denial. The woman or the girl at the gate. The girl at the gate. She asked him, "Are you not one of the man's disciples?" And Peter said, "I'm not." And then he came in and he started to warm himself beside the fire. And there was the guards that had on duty that night, and they also turned, the guards at the fire turned and also asked Peter the same question, and he gave the same answer, "I'm not one of his." And then about an hour later, somebody else arrived in the courtyard. Maybe, remember, we are told here that the sword cut off or scarred severely somebody's ear, the servant of the high priest. And an hour after, one of the friends of that person, maybe they were treating him, looking after him, getting the story from him, but a friend of the person that had been affected came and joined the company, and the third question was posed. A friend from the garden. And again Peter answered, "I don't know him." And as soon as he did that, the cock crew. The Lord turned, and Peter remembered. What was it the Lord said in that simple look between the two of them? First of all, we can see very clearly the strands and the force of God's love, Christ's love to Peter. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going through this travesty of justice. He has been processed through the night, through all the different procedures of Roman and Jewish government, so that they can put him on the cross in the morning. He's been beaten, he's been mocked, he's been tried, and he's all alone. And yet he turns to Peter. In all of that situation, he needed his own strength, his own resources, his own concentration to fend for himself. There was no point, there was no distraction. We wouldn't want that kind of a distraction. But yet in the middle of his own battle, his heart goes out to what Peter has just said and done. His heart goes out to a wavering follower. And the Lord assures Peter of his love to him. "You behaved in a moment ago, Peter, as if there was no love, as if there was no affection, as if there was no commitment. But Peter, I am not deterred. I'm not put off. I still love you in spite of all that you've done and all that you've said." The delight of the Lord to those who are bought with his blood. The love of the Lord, an everlasting love. It is demonstrated here. But let us think for a moment of Peter who experienced it. It's demonstrated in that look.
But the Luke was known only by Peter. And what a tremendous power there was in that look. What a lesson was conveyed. And what memories were stirred. That look and that love shines all the brighter in the contrast to the darkness of Peter's life and behavior. The love of the Lord to sinners like Peter, and the love of the Lord to sinners like ourselves. His love is not conditional. It's not determined by where we are or what we're doing. His love set upon us changes not. And there comes mixing in with that love, and we've got to say it and we've got to put it in for balance and proportion. Not only is there love there, but there is also grace. Grace of God that is not deterred by the behavior of Peter. We can imagine that on a human level, if somebody had treated us the way Peter had treated the Lord, we would have washed our hands and given him up. If that's what you call a friend, I don't want anything to do with him. But that wasn't the thinking of the Lord. There are times when we, by our behavior, run the same channel as Peter ran in. We can do things that provoke the Lord's judgment against us, and we can, by our own assessment, disqualify ourselves, and we can think just like that. Well, if that's the way it is, then why should the Lord think of me at all? We sink very deep. We behave in a way which brings no credit to anyone and much shame upon ourselves. And we think that by that very behavior, we've put ourselves beyond the reach and the consideration of Jesus Christ. And yet, in a look, his words speak to us, and that look reaches us. He may not be close by, he may not be near to Peter, but the look of his eye reaches him. That's the depth of God's grace and power. He does not change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He fixes his eye on a stray sheep, but that sheep will return. The love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in dealing with Peter. But there's something else, a third thing we've got to take in. Notice the wisdom in the way in which he deals with Peter. It's beautiful. It's a look. No words are exchanged. Nothing is said. Yes, there was a time in the past when the Lord spoke to Peter, when he called him and said to him, "Be ye fishers of men." Yes, words were exchanged on other occasions. There was another time when even the Lord stretched out his hand as Peter was beginning to sink when he was on the water. Yes, there were times when these were appropriate ways of the Lord dealing with Peter. But here, there was no words. There was no touch, there was no hand. There was only a look. Why? Why only a look? Because if the Lord had stretched out his hand, if the Lord had spoken any words, these things would have brought danger and threat to Peter. These things would have drawn Peter close in to the Lord and to what was going to happen to the Lord. And so we have the wisdom of the Lord in dealing with Peter. The wise, appropriate expression. A look. Very few, if any, would have picked it up. But there was so much carried by it. Words. Words would never have expressed what that look meant. The touch of the Lord in his hand assuring Peter would have been inadequate compared to the look that was exchanged between them. The wisdom of the Lord in dealing with Peter. And it is the same with ourselves, the variety and the appropriateness of the way the Lord deals also with ourselves. It might not be a look. It might not be the same as someone else. It might be so different from anyone and everyone else. But what we can say about it is this, that when the Lord deals with us as he dealt with Peter, there is always that perfect wisdom, always that appropriateness to the situation and to ourselves. And it's always effective. It was only a few seconds, but these few seconds were heavy with meaning and significance. And these few seconds reached down inside Peter and changed him permanently. It's only a few seconds that the Lord might speak a word to us through a sermon, through a text. It's only a few seconds as we're listening even now this morning. It's only a few seconds when something of heaven breaks our defenses and gets under our skin and into our soul. And just like Peter, we're disturbed. But just like Peter, may we also be changed forever. The Lord and the way in which he dealt with Peter. But that look that was exchanged between the two of them, we're told also he looked upon Peter, but we're also told that Peter remembered the word of the Lord. What was it that he remembered? What was it that came flooding into his mind now? Yes, the short-term memory would have brought him back to verses 31 and 34 and all of the conversation that had taken place about denying his Lord and about the Lord praying for him. Yes, these things would have been flooding into his memory, but not these things alone. His mind would have gone back and touched base with so many other things that the Lord had done for him. There would have been a whole flood of experiences going down through the years when he first met the Lord, the way in which he called him to be a disciple, and the blessings that he bestowed upon them as they caught fish. When he met them on the waves and delivered them in the midst of a storm. When the great privileges of meeting with the Lord in his transfigured state on the mountaintop. 3 years that were so packed and compressed with memories. And these memories in some measure came flooding before Peter now. All of it flashed before him. And they were time and time and time again bringing home the same thing of the love of the Lord to him and the love that he had to the Lord. This denial was not a temporary, it was a temporary thing. It wasn't a permanent state with Peter. It was something that had slipped into his life when he was unguarded. But all of these other moments, all of these good times, they were like a hammer upon his heart. And he went out and he wept. All of the memories that were opened up in that look, the way in which the Lord opens up memories even now with ourselves as we sit underneath his word, and we think of what he's done for us. Only a few seconds. But the memory is stirred. And the Lord is speaking to us. And there is that tremendous appeal in what's happened in between. What happened after the Lord spoke to Peter about denying him and such like? We find the Lord going into the garden. And there he takes the cup in his hand. And there he is taking the purpose that the Lord his Father has set out for him. And in that cup, and in the behavior of our Lord in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to Peter, I am here and I am enduring these things. I am suffering these things, Peter, for you. You who have denied me. That's the kind of anguish that he felt. That's the way the pain went deep into his soul. Not a single word exchanged between them. But it was a look that said all and said enough. That look of love. You're still mine. How can I give you up? The book of Hosea chapter 11 gives us a tremendous image and picture. Hosea chapter 11 gives us the picture of a parent teaching a child to walk. And the child is held there. We all know what we do. Your two fingers and the child is holding on and you're wanting them to slip off. And they might slip off and the child is there just tottering along for a moment and then falls. That's the way the Lord is dealing with his people. There are times when we stumble and fall. But there in Hosea we have a tremendous word of affirmation to the comfort of us when we behave like Peter. I have loved you with an everlasting love. How can I give you up? I cannot. I will not. It was to all human assessment an utter disaster what Peter had just done and said. To every human assessment, Peter had just gone beyond the pale. A complete disaster. It was all over. He went out and he wept. You might as well draw the curtain on Peter as a servant. That's it. He's done it now. But the Lord had yet great purposes for him. And the very experience that he goes through here is going to equip him. It's not going to disqualify him, but it's going to equip him for the work that the Lord still has in store for him. The Lord probed deep inside the character of Peter. Oh yes, Peter is quick, Peter is mercuric, Peter is there doing things before he thinks things through. He's there quick and impetuous, and he's there too quick at times. But the Lord is now putting him through the refining and molding. The Lord is, in that simple look, changing the character of Peter for better and higher service. We've been thinking of Joseph in prison. And he was in prison and different experiences in Egypt for 13 years. And these experiences in prison molded him and made him the person to be second in command in Egypt to discharge all of the good things gathered for the 7 years of famine to follow. 13 years to mold and to make and to change his character fit that the Lord would use him. Peter? It was all packed into a few seconds. It was that look that was the equivalent almost of 13 years of prison service, or at least almost 13 years of prison service for Joseph. In that look, Peter's heart was changed. In that look, there came a tenderness and a compassion and a sympathy that equipped him to deal with many others who were going through perhaps the same as he went through. And he was able to identify with their character. And he was able to get down beside them. And he was able to say, "Yes, I know, because I've been there before you." The look and the way in which Peter was awakened, the way in which the complacency, the things that he had let slip, the things that he had let come into his life, all of these things were now put to one side. Even that love, yes, perhaps, that had been grown cold, it was now brought up, burning brightly. The love that the Lord had for him stimulated his own love to him. The embers were perhaps glowing on the point of going out, and they were fanned by that look. And that look produced a greater depth to Peter's love for his Lord. And it purified him. Just as we've said, there was a brashness and there was a quickness about him. He was so quick to go for retribution and for God's intervention. He was so quick to speak and act. Everything had to be done on the double, on the trot. But now the Lord makes him a softer person, more gentle in the way in which he deals with people. The edges and the corners that sometimes get in the way, the edges and the corners that sometimes cause offense, these things are burnt away in a look. Surely we've got to take our own life underneath this same judgment. We've got to take our own life under that look as well. How much survives the look of the Lord's love to us today, this morning, here, now? Can we continue to do this? Will we continue to say that? Will we always go there from now onwards? A decisive moment, not only for Peter, but for ourselves. He never ever heard the rooster crow again without a memory flooding his soul. He never ever heard it again without the memory coming back of the word of the Lord. Never the same again. A sensitivity, a memory in a look. He was bold. He was bold to walk into that company and to mix with that crowd, to expose himself to this kind of temptation. Oh yes, he was bold. He thought that he could stand when the Lord had warned him against it. And that boldness which brought him into that danger. Oh yes, the boldness of character was still there, but now it was mingled with the love and the grace and the wisdom of God. And now Peter could speak, as he preached on the day of Pentecost about the Lord Jesus Christ. He could preach about the amazing experience of the love of the Lord to him. He wanted to tell people now of what he had experienced at the hand of the Lord. A look, but a look that was so precious and powerful, and a look that stirred up his memories. There was a sorrow there. We can hardly enter into the sorrow that Peter had when he wept and went out. We want that kind of devotion of soul for ourselves. But we want to be spared the pain that Peter went through. And we pray that the Lord would gently teach us in our own hearts of the greatness of His love to each and to every one of His children, that we might this morning hear Him deal and speak with us. And that as He deals with us and speaks to us, there would be with us, as there was with Peter, a recalling and a recalling of the memories. Things that have happened in the past, and that every one of them might pile up against us and challenge us and speak to us clearly and plainly of where we are and whose we are and where we're going. And that we might be changed and different this morning from that meeting with the Lord, even in the same way as Peter was, as the Lord looked and Peter remembered. So may we remember, and may we trust in Christ for the salvation of our souls. Let us pray. O gracious Lord and God, Thy goodness is so wonderful in Thy dealings with us. Thy grace is magnified in meeting with us and speaking with us here. And Thy love is like a deep flood and stream to us in the face of all of our faults and our failings. Lord, may we lay up these spiritual truths, and may they be vivid at the front of our mind and our memories. And we pray, Lord, that we might be changed, and that we might come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In His name we ask it. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Lord, I will Thee extol, for Thou hast lifted me on high, and over me Thou to rejoice madest not mine enemy. O Thou who art the Lord my God, I in distress to Thee with loud cries lifted up my voice, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, my soul Thou hast brought up and rescued from the grave, that I to pit should not go down alive Thou didst me save. O ye that are His holy ones, sing praise unto the Lord, and give unto Him thanks when ye His holiness record. For but a moment lasts His wrath, life in His favour lies. Weeping may for a night endure, at morn doth joy arise. As we sing these words, we can sing them particularly in the experience of Peter in our meditation this morning. Lord, I will Thee extol.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all.